This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You guys, we have some tour updates for you for the My Favorite Murder live show tour. Are you ready? Listen to this. Wednesday, September 6th, Auckland, New Zealand. We're going to see you soon. Come to the show.
Sunday, September 10th, we'll be in Melbourne at the Comedy Theater. We added a third show to that.
Third freaking show. Tuesday, September 12th, Sydney, Australia at the freaking Sydney Opera House.
Yeah.
That's the second Sydney show. We really want to sell the Opera House out. How cool would that be?
Friday, September 29th, we're going to be at the Fillmore in Detroit, Michigan.
That's the second show that night. Saturday, September 30th, Toronto, Canada. And then we have a couple new tour dates to announce.
It's okay, go. You got it.
All right, and then we have a couple new tour dates. Wednesday, October 18th, Minneapolis. We will be there.
Does that say Minneapolis, Michigan?
It does say Minneapolis, Steven? Michigan. And that's why I didn't say it.
Wait, where's Minneapolis? Oh, shit.
Georgia real hard.
Wait, where's
Minneapolis, Michigan?
Oh, Minnesota.
Oh, whoops. Even sorry. I know that one.
Guess I'm going to Minnesota.
It's not just us. Okay, so we're going to be in Minneapolis on Michigan. Wednesday, October 18th.
Yeah, Saturday, November 11th, Dallas, Texas. There's a late show.
And also Saturday, December 9th, we'll be in Kansas City. We're adding a late show at the Midland Theater.
Fuck yeah, Kansas City. Oh, go to myfavoritemurder.com/live. We also made a Facebook event page on our Facebook, myfavoritemurder.com/MFM podcast, with links to buy the correct non-scalped tickets.
Yes, and then also once you get your tickets, those are the pages to go to check if there are any updates, if you hear rumors of cancellation, if you hear anything to change, just go to our MFM Facebook live show pages and you can get all the latest information there.
Right.
On sale now.
On sale now. See you soon. Prayer hands. For Karen.
There's a period of time where we know we're starting to be recorded, but we're not sure. We haven't really started, and then we go into a different mode of conversation.
It's like pressure's on.
Pressure's on, but it may not have started yet.
Right.
So it's self-aware, but still casual.
Even as we're speaking right now, we're not sure.
This is the spot.
This is it.
This is it right here.
Okay, so let's start.
I'm not recording.
Just kidding. Perfection.
Hey, hi, welcome to My Favorite Murder, the mini-sode.
The mini-sode that gets you through this week, as last week, it's flipped. So we are doing Unqualified with Anna Faris special. It's the second part. We did Tuesday. Now it's Thursday, you're getting your Minnesota. Don't get used to this.
Yeah.
It's not going to stay like this.
Understandable that it's been confusing. We love you guys for sticking through it.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's not the hardest thing you're ever going to go through.
We hope. Well, no, I hope it is.
We hope it's the hardest thing you're ever going to go through. It's not going to be.
Yeah. And then really, do you want to live your life like that? No. You need challenges.
Challenges are what make you great.
Yeah.
Are what make you talented.
What gives you the knowledge that you can withstand anything.
That's right. And the kind of inner wisdom.
Yeah.
God. You're welcome.
God. I teach you about God.
It teaches you all about the Lord.
You know, our friend.
I just need people to know, for those of you who were contacting me, the story I told last week about my dogs getting out of my gate. Yes, my dogs are chipped. Yes, my dogs
people
are chipped.
People asking you that?
Yes. I think they just get concerned. People are like, are we dealing with a person who doesn't understand how to have dogs?
In this day and age.
They did get out three times.
So kind of.
They weren't totally out of bounds. Still, I want to be defensive and say, yeah, my fucking dogs are chipped.
Okay.
And I've now written Georgia's name and my phone number on her collar.
Oh, I thought you put my name and phone number on your dog's collar. Georgia's name. I was like, what?
So they'll get a hold of you. I think it's the best way because I'm almost always here recording this podcast with you.
I just get a call. What if you never told me that? I get a call and they're like, hey, your dogs are out. I'm like, I don't know. And they like describe them to me and I'm like, those
and are... they're yelling at you.
How do you know my... Yes, they're chipped.
Yes, they're chipped.
Fuck, that's funny. I want to have a corrections corner real quick and say that I will never eat food in the microphone again. Then I apologize.
Did you do that?
Like, not last week, the week before when we did that, when I had the burgers.
Oh, you ate right into the microphone?
I didn't know. I thought Steven was going to fucking edit that out. But then I realized I was talking in a way that was like, you couldn't edit. I was like saying a thing that was important.
Okay, I want to say this. I apologize to you for putting a time crunch onto a recording where there were people who messaged us and they were like, are you guys okay? Cause we were talking so fast trying to get done by like 10:30 or whatever.
Yeah. And yet the episode like, was trying still to get done. an hour and 45 minutes long.
Yes. We can't do this quickly. Like I'll never even attempt again, but it made me laugh really hard.
Did we? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oops.
I mean, that's what, you know, some people said.
We just did a live reading of our new tour dates. Can I read a tweet really quickly?
Sure.
That I thought was hilarious. A girl named Allie, 2 L's, 2 E's. Wrote me, yay, my favorite murder is doing a show nearby on October 14th. Fiance, that's our wedding day. You will be busy.
Oh, shit.
I almost scheduled a dentist appointment on my wedding day. Like a month before. I was like, yeah, okay, let's do March 5th. Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. I can't do that.
I'm not free that day.
And I wrote it in my calendar. Wedding. Like, and I was like, oh no, I have something that it's my wedding.
Yeah, I have something that day.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm gonna cancel it. I'll be here. So yeah, this is where we read your stories of your hometown murders that you remember from your childhood, from your mom's childhood.
Maybe you're just making it up.
Maybe you made
it
up.
We don't care.
And we're going to read them to you. And we have a couple good ones this week. I'm excited.
Yeah, Steven really did his due diligence.
He did.
Which we expect from Steven. We always get from Steven.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm still grateful for it.
Yeah.
I just like to say.
That's his one job. And he fucking knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
His due diligence.
Steven's all about due diligence.
Steven has a million jobs with us.
Yeah.
But the number one is due diligence.
I want to go into much more specific job assignment, task assignment to Steven. Like, figure out bill pay for every bill in my life. I want to do things like that to Steven where I'm like, well, I've never been able to figure it out. Don't you do it?
Do you know my dad offered to do my bookkeeping?
Are you serious?
Yeah. Because I emailed... I'll tell you later.
Wait, is that what he does for a living?
No. He dads.
You have to say no.
He dads for a living.
He's just a dad. He dads around.
Like, I'll take... I was like, I can't do it. I messaged my accountant and I was like, I'll just spend more money and throw money at IRS. I can't do this. Because I call him IRS. And he's like, well, why don't I come over one day and I'll take care of your book. We'll do it together. Which is like when I was a kid, he had to like give me flashcards and teach me.
So he's a good teacher?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
he's
great.
He's smart. He has OCD.
He knows his shit.
Yeah.
See, my dad, I can't ask him to help me do anything because the yelling starts within 45 seconds where it's like, how come you don't know? It's since I was a small child. It's the reason I am the way I am.
And then you start yelling back at him.
Yes.
Because I don't know.
You'd be like, ask one question in an algebra book where you'd be like, so, and then my dad would go, hold on. Yeah. This new math. And he'd start reading the book. And I'd be like, forget it. I'll just figure it out
myself. That's me.
I'll just do it myself.
I hate that when you do ask someone a question and they don't know the answer instead of like, saying, I don't know, or I could look at it. They just start. Never mind.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to.
I'm not asking you to go do your own fucking errand with my problem.
Even like, do you know how to spell this word? And they're like, let me look it up. Blah. And like, you know what? I can look it up myself. I just wanted to know if you know how to put your phone down, Vince.
I wanted it the fastest way.
Right.
The fastest, most human way.
Right. Wow. Well, that was a tangent.
God damn. We're pissed.
Real angry.
No, we're fucking pissed.
Listen.
Look
and listen.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm so ready.
My Cocker Spaniel saved me from getting kidnapped.
Yay.
Hello, MFM family. Nice. This is a saint.
Great.
Love your podcast. We'll get right to the point because I'm a professor and school's about to start and life is chaos.
I love this person.
Hell yeah. Okay. When I was a kid, I had a Cocker Spaniel, Sassy.
Sassy. Oh, that is such a kid's dog's name. Sassy. Let's say I'm Sassy.
Did you used to get Sassy magazine?
Yeah.
Wait, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I knew it, but didn't get it.
Sassy magazine was, they had like, they used to have Teen Vogue or some teen version of a fashion magazine, and then they got rid of it and they put out Sassy, and it was like the 90s.
Amazing.
Like most real Gen X.
Kurt and Courtney were on the cover of yes. it. Like it was so badass.
It was really, look up old, I was going to say episodes of it because it's really good. Anyhow, Sassy, who was scared of a lot of things. Sad. She would pee on herself when people came to the door.
Oh God, I do that too. Can you imagine?
Or if anyone tried to pet her when we were out on a walk.
That's,
maybe she just had to pee all the time. Generally, she found people that weren't my family terrifying. I've always been interested in animals. Turned that passion into a career. I'm a psychologist who studies how animals think and reason. And now I have the best job ever. Yes, you do.
Holy shit. Come over and talk to Elvis. My God.
I mean, is this a person that's like watching videos of apes using tools and shit?
They don't want to talk to my cats, you mean?
Oh, I mean, real shit. No, not comparatively. No, that's just the first thing I think. Did you see that the video? It was a viral video of some kind of an ape or chimpanzee that was using a stick and fire to roast marshmallows.
No.
It's the greatest.
I thought you were going to say the gorilla who's in the kiddie pool and turning around and dancing and going crazy. Did you see? It really shows how they think.
They really think I gotta dance.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I play games with dogs for science. Oh, I should have finished that. So I would take our dogs. We had another one who isn't in this story, but she was awesome too.
Aww.
To the field at the school about a block from our house to work on their obedience training. One day I was there with Sassy and this guy approached me and tried to talk to me. He didn't get very close because as soon as he came near me, nervous little Sassy went nuts. She started barking and growling and lunging at this guy. This was a dog who usually peed herself and hid behind me when she saw a stranger. And here she was going on the attack. The guy walked away and I felt kind of bad that she'd acted that way. Innocent little me thought that he was maybe trying to ask for directions or something. Yeah, adults don't ask kids for help. That was in parentheses. The next day, I was at the grocery store with my dad and saw sketches of the same guy posted on the community announcements board at the front of the store.
No.
Apparently, he had been trying to lure kids away from schools in the area and police were trying to find him. I told my dad, and a few days later, they reported on the evening news that he had been arrested. From then on, I've always trusted my dog's instincts more than my own.
Yeah.
I think everyone is great until proven otherwise. And it has served me well on more than one occasion. On a happy note, my fiance and I met through our dogs. We were both looking to rent houses that were big dog friendly and kept running into each other at the same rental houses.
Oh,
that's the most precious meet cute I've ever heard. Hi.
Hi.
Oh my God, it's you again.
Oh, you're looking to, what'd you think of the last one? Kind of gross, right?
And I mean, it did smell.
It smelled terrible.
It was crazy. Do you like wallpaper?
I love wallpaper.
Oh my God, I love wallpaper of dogs. sorry. And our dogs are going to be the maid of honor and best man at our wedding next summer.
Got it. Oh my God.
And then
these are the best human beings that have ever existed.
In parentheses, she wrote, yep, we're those people.
Oh.
Stay sexy, don't get murdered, and always trust your dog, Ellen.
I love it.
Oh my God.
I was always bummed that Elvis and Mimi couldn't be in the wedding. Can you imagine? I just let them loose.
They're
the
just
room.
Wandering yeah. around, licking stuff.
They're serving hors d'oeuvres. No, I wanted them to work in the wedding because it was
cater waiter
expensive. Yeah,
just almost, right.
What if they were the bartenders?
Oh my God, just like little gin and tonics on their backs.
Oh! Well, kitties. Okay, that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are very sweet people.
I love.
What was her name? I'm sorry,
Ellen.
Ellen, thank you, Ellen. All right,
thank you, Ellen.
Okay, this one. Ooh, this is a doozy. This is called I Thought She Moved Away.
Oh, what?
Yeah. First off, let me say that all caps. I love these podcasts so much.
Sorry. Just all of them in general. I do too. Yeah. They're so fun.
She sent this to everyone. She sent this to what's another podcast?
To the president of podcasting.
This American Life. She sent this to.
I love these podcasts. Keep these it up. Things.
It is exactly what I wanted, and I didn't even know I had been looking for it. I have generalized anxiety. Yay. And I have spent my life imagining worst case scenarios. Me too.
Yep.
It both frightens and entertains me. You awesome ladies cracking jokes and talking about murder are the best. Anyway, okay, so when I was about six in 1992, my family lived for a couple years in Dalzell, South Carolina. D-A-L-Z-E-L-L.
Dalzell, you got it.
Dalzell. It's about 15 minutes. And then she says it's this place. It's about 15 minutes from Sumter, South Carolina. I don't know where that is either.
Like, you nailed that one, though.
Sumter? That's got to be.
Sure.
Right. We lived in a trailer park, but it was a well-built one. honey, I was not going to talk shit on trailer parks. I love them.
No shame.
Neat yards and fairly new mobile homes. Across the street from me lived a little girl about my age named Virginia. Yeah. I would go over to her house sometimes and play, and we became pretty good friends. Sidebar, I was a shy kid and got made fun of a lot, so having a friend was not the norm for me at that point.
Oh. Aww.
She moved away unexpectedly, and we didn't get a chance to say goodbye.
Uh-oh.
I always felt like it was somehow my fault that she left without saying goodbye.
Oh.
Double uh-oh. I guess that's uh-oh.
that's uh-oh.
Anyway, cut to about 11 or 12 years later, I'm watching an old home video my family made to send to my grandparents instead of a normal letter of our new home in South Carolina. No, we never sent it because I both farted and cursed on the tape.
Wow.
Ah, youth. In the tape, I go inside for something, and it's just my dad and my brother, who was 12 or 13 at the time, sitting on the porch recording nothing in general. My brother is shooting the neighborhood, then points out Virginia's house and zooms in saying, "You see that house? Somebody died in that house." His voice is full of miserable, puberty-ridden teenage glory. Then dad says, "Dylan, hush, your sister's inside." Then I come out and we go about filming, nothing, etc.
What? So, okay.
You're just sitting there watching this video.
This is my dream. Like, you get to watch moments where you're not there.
Yeah.
Like, but that they're relevant to you somehow. Hopefully not too painfully.
Like someone talking shit on you.
Yeah. But like, you know, but this is the best because it's secrets.
Yeah.
Secrets you don't know.
So she's at this point, like 18 years old, watching this thing.
If you saw that in a movie, you'd be like, I doubt it.
Yeah. And who watches a video from way back? I don't
but
know.
Also in that when those videos cameras first came out, remember it was just like people would record nothing for hours. Yeah. It'd be like, it's Christmas. And it'd be like 6 hours of the most boring shit.
Nobody knows how to edit. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
There's no editing.
Or just kind of stop recording and wait for something good.
Well, I do that with it. There's like 12 minutes of me just recording Elvis doing nothing because he had done something cute like a minute before.
Right. You want to recapture it somehow?
Yeah. This is about me. Okay. Go by point. I, about 17 or 18 then, had apparently never seen this tape. I asked my mom about it, and she told me that Virginia's mother had actually gone crazy, shot her daughter, then shot herself. Because I was so young and it was such a terrible event, they just told me she had moved away. So, yeah, I've actually tried to find out some details about it, but I haven't had any luck. I don't remember their last name, the mother's name, and I assume she was divorced because I don't think I remember a dad being in the picture. Other than that, I have no other details besides the street name.
Wow.
Sam, thanks again for the amazing gift that is this podcast. Oh, so these podcasts, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Sam, that story is haunting.
Yeah.
Creepy. I mean, that's kind of like perfection. And it's that thing of like through the filter of a little child's mind, where it's kind of good they probably didn't tell her, except for then when you don't know the truth, your little child's brain fills in the details.
It's her fault. She probably, you know, it's so weird. Do you have these events where you're like, oh, I've been stuck with this horrible thought of this thing happening for so long because I interpreted it wrong?
Yes.
And it's actually not the way I thought it was, like that kind of thing.
Yes.
Like someone, I'm trying to think if there was one where it was like, oh no, I was wrong about that the whole time. There were, well, whatever. I don't want to keep talking about
myself. No, I mean, there. No, I know exactly what you're talking about. I feel like that's what a lot of therapy is about. It's
yeah.
like, can you look on your past and instead of believing that what you think your life has been is just fact,
yeah.
it's actually your skewed perception from your angle of like fear and anxiety and, you know, like need to protect yourself.
Yeah. Did I tell you, can I say this really quickly? Because this was such a huge moment for me when Vince and I started going to a new therapist. He's amazing. Vince is amazing too, but I had this like narrative. Vince's mom died when he was like really young. His dad never remarried. My parents divorced when I was really young, never remarried. And my narrative was like, well, we need to go to therapy because we don't have an example of what a good marriage looks like and we don't know and blah, blah, blah. And the minute I said that to the therapist, he was like, Vince has a good idea of what a good marriage looks like. His dad wore his ring until he died and never got remarried and was, that was his wife and he was sticking with it. So Vince did have a good fucking image of what a good marriage was. And I was like, oh, I'm an asshole. I was totally wrong.
You're not an asshole. You just had your version of, like, yeah. you just had your perception of it
yeah.
and you couldn't have thought of it a different way because you'd never, because that wasn't your experience. Yeah. But that's an amazing point.
So much from the way I think about my relationship with Vince now. It just was like, oh fuck, you're totally right. Isn't that weird?
It's weird, but that's also such a beautiful thought.
I'm so happy about it.
It's such a beautiful, lovely, like, I think things like that are hard to come up with yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's like somebody, you need a therapist, you need a scientific kind of official person to tell you best case scenario.
Right.
Because you won't trust it if you tell yourself.
Yeah.
You'll be like, oh, I'm lying to myself and I better tell myself worst case scenario so I'm more prepared. But like, that's the thing I love the best about my therapist. She'll be like, the first time she said it, she goes, when you get scared, you tell yourself very mean stories.
Ooh.
And I was like, what? And then it's like anytime I have social anxiety or I'm nervous about dating or any kind of thing, it's like, I will just go like, worst case scenario, here's what's happening. And so then I'm always just like,
and it
okay.
has nothing to do with you being a horrible, awful, nobody,
monster.
Blah, blah, monster.
Right.
So you tell yourself mean things about yourself.
Just so that I go like, oh, okay, I get what's happening here. I'm now going to not care. I have to cut myself off emotionally so that, because it's the worst case.
And really you are in charge of the outcome because you did that.
Yes.
So like the outcome could have been totally different.
Oh girl, I've shut down. Well, why are we talking about this? Why
know.
Are we always ready? The subject line of this one is my school janitor.
It's okay that we did that, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it's our podcast. You know what I think this is? This is a little touch of the unqualified with Anna Faris coming
okay.
through. It's fun to talk about shit like that.
It is.
All right.
Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in-network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Craft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com.
Goodbye. There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
My school janitor and the time my dad was part of a manhunt.
All right.
It's on.
Let's do it.
Hi, George and Karen. This is a pretty crazy story coming from a place that usually encounters no violent crimes. My best friend from my hometown got me hooked on the podcast and may have already wrote in about this, but hopefully it gets read. That's hilarious. They're in like a race to tell the
story.
Yeah,
right. Shh, this person's winning.
Well, Cassidy won. Okay. We grew up in a really small, like less than 500 people,
wow,
small town in northern Maine called St. Francis.
Ooh. Ooh, I bet it's so pretty.
I bet it smells like the salty sea air.
Oh, and lobster.
And like men with really unruly beards.
Mm-hmm, and BO.
Okay.
Set the scene.
Really smell the scene. It's a town where legit everyone knows everyone, and you would never expect anyone from town being capable of such a horrific crime. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. In the early summer of 2014, a man named Jesse Marquez or Marquis. I think it's Marquis. Jesse Marquis had just been dumped by his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. The story is that he was pretty drunk. And this happened late at night. He went into the room of his girlfriend, Amy Thoreau, and both shot and stabbed her 11 times.
Shit.
Talk about fucking overkill, it says in this email. Mm-hmm. Not only did he murder her in her own bedroom, there were other people in the house.
Mm.
Fuck. They promptly called the police as Marquis left with the gun. There are a lot of woods near us. Yes, I would imagine that. And it's on the border of Canada, so law enforcement was concerned he would jump the very unenforced border.
Mm.
My dad, it's just a border. It's just a line of maple syrup that's going across. Sorry. They promptly called the police. Oh, sorry. There were a lot of us said that already. My dad is a game warden.
Ew.
And was a member of the search, which lasted for 6 days before finding him in the woods. He was found guilty by a jury and sentenced 25 years to life. Amy had two young children who will now not get to share their lives with their mother. This murder did spark a huge anti-domestic violence movement in town and surrounding areas. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The most fucked up part. Oh, good. The most fucked up part about this murder is that Marquis used to work as a bus driver and janitor at my tiny school, and all the students loved him. And he seemed like such a cool guy. He had such an impact on my eighth grade class that in 2008, when we graduated eighth grade, we fucking dedicated our yearbook to him.
No.
Little did we know that 6 years later he'd snap, and now we have a creepy yearbook dedication to a murderer. Anyway, that's my hometown murder. Hope you enjoyed it. Stay sexy. Don't get murdered, Cassidy.
Oh my God.
The
yearbook thing is crazy.
Well, then you just want to know what happened in that 6 years, yeah, or like in that decade, or what.
Or that night.
The behind the scenes. Yes, exactly. Was it all one night?
Yeah, that he just snapped.
Or was it like a slow erosion?
Yeah. Oh, that sucks.
I'm telling you, murders in Maine. I'm 100% here for murders in Maine.
That must be a show on Oxygen or something.
I'm pitching it. This is my way of telling you I'm pitching it to Oxygen.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm doing murders in Maryland.
Oh, fuck. I guess murders in Mississippi is.
What about? Yeah, okay. All right. This one's called Vicarious Encounters with Infamous Men.
Okay.
Hey, MFM crew. All right.
What up?
I've been a fan from the very beginning. Earlier this week, I was having a couple beers with my dad. We have a strange relationship. You ready for this?
Yeah.
We have a strange relationship since he spent 17 years in prison in New York State for killing my mom when I was 3 and a half.
Whoa, wow.
When I read that, I was like, great job, Steven.
Wow.
Great job picking this one.
Fuck.
I know.
Okay.
She says, I know. How can I still see or talk to him, right? I'll just say it's complicated.
Not no, right.
Shit.
We don't, I mean, yeah. Your father. Yeah,
I get it.
There's lots of things.
And understandable that alcohol's involved when you guys hang out. My mom didn't even kill anyone, and I have to fucking drink around her when I'm with her.
Look, I mean, you only have two parents. I mean,
the enormity of that.
Yes. It's just like,
no one will ever understand that unless they've gone through it.
Yeah. And who knows what the dad said? I mean, who knows? Anyway, yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, she says, anyway, I'm not saying it to you. Anyway, Karen.
Anyway.
Anyway, for the first time this week, I really got some details about what prison was like. He apparently only ever spent a month in, quote, the box or solitary confinement because he refused to snitch on a guy who started a fight with him. He said having a reputation as a snitch stays with you the whole time you're inside. The only thing worse is being a convicted child molester. Whoa. He was in Attica for a while, and he said that he used to play pinochle with David Berkowitz. The guy who was Son of Sam.
I mean, I hope this isn't a lie, but if it is, it's great writing.
It doesn't
pinochle
seem like
is the funniest card game that you could name.
And you're playing it with Son of Sam.
With Son of Sam.
Fuck.
Great, just great contrast.
I love it. Okay. While he was there, he and a guard would make each other laugh by walking by Mark David Chapman's cell and singing John Lennon songs.
No.
What the fuck? Holy shit.
Fuck.
All in all, a pretty fucked up situation, but it has occasionally yielded some interesting stories. I love you both, and I hope that next time you're in Philadelphia, we can hang out and be BFF. I'll make you cookies. And the meantime, stay sexy and don't get murdered. I'll do the same. Smooches to you and Steven and the animal crew. XOXO Steph.
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 That's fascinating.
Fuck, what an interesting person. Her. I mean, her.
All of it.
Yeah.
Also, just that the experience of a person, you know how like the inside prison experiment, all those shows, it's also, because I'm sure it's hellish and terrible, like mm-hmm. the night of or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's all just like this huge panic, but like kind of anecdotal mm-hmm. stories about being inside prison is a very fascinating
yeah.
way to get that information.
Because you'd imagine the like day-to-day stuff is like, it's pretty boring.
Right.
It becomes like, you know, you're 12 years into a life sentence and you're like, this is what I do now. And yeah. There's been a couple fights and I've had to go and there's this and that, but there's probably not much going on.
Until someone jumps you in the laundry room.
Yeah. With a shank. Is that what they use?
Maybe they shank you. Maybe they garrote you.
Maybe you learn to make prison wine.
Maybe you are able to order through the guy that gets stuff like a catalog.
Yeah.
You can get yourself some mushrooms.
Top ramen. Oh.
Some mushrooms for your top ramen.
Can you imagine doing drugs and mushrooms in a fucking prison? I think you'd go out of your goddamn mind.
But I think it's just
yeah.
to get, just to pass the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, mushrooms would be bad, though, because you'd be like, I keep seeing skulls everywhere.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
My grandma provided a getaway for the acid lady.
All right.
Okay. Hi, Karen, Georgia, Stephen, and various pets. My grandma is completely obsessed with true crime.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's the best. One of the things she and I always do together is watch reruns of Forensic Files and Dateline. One night, while watching an episode of Dateline on Larissa Schuster, a.k.a. the acid lady, my grandma casually mentions that she was involved in this.
What?
Being the weirdo that I am, I needed details. You're not a weirdo,
You're not
friend.
Weird. You'd be weird if you didn't fucking say, what the fuck are you talking about, grandma?
Yeah, the weirdo is the person that goes, would you like some more tea? And like gets up and walks away. That's the weirdo. Okay, if you're not from Fresno, then you may not know about her, but Larissa Schuster was this woman who in 2003 murdered her husband. She and her lab partner incapacitated her husband, Tim, using chloroform and a stun gun.
I bet they were boning, right?
Well, right, probably. And then put his body in a 55-gallon barrel full of hydrochloric acid and left it to dissolve in a storage unit. Seriously, look up this case because it's whack.
Whoa.
Oh, whack in all caps. My grandma at the time was a travel agent and booked Larissa and her son on a trip to Disney World and then Missouri, which ended up being her getaway after the murder. It was in the Missouri airport that Larissa was arrested. The biggest thing my grandma talks about is how, is how annoyed she was about having to drive to LA for the trial to testify, which is a classic grandma move.
Oh my God.
Basically, both Larissa and her lab partner were sentenced to life in prison, and my grandma is a badass. SSDGM, Hannah.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's so cool.
I really, older women who have been murderinos since the 30s is my jam.
Yeah.
I want to hear about all of those.
That is so weird. You don't think about that. You think about it being such a new thing.
Right.
Modern thing being into murder, but it's
not
crime, true crime. Yeah.
Cause all those pictures, you think of all those like courtroom pictures, half the people in that room do not need to be there. They're purely there just to watch proceedings take place. Because remember when we were on tour and there was that woman that was telling us, she was at a really famous court. I can't remember if it was Ted Bundy or if it was
she was older and
John Wayne Gacy. And she was like telling us all about going there and waiting beforehand and sitting in the courtroom.
That's so crazy.
I love, because back then it wasn't on TV.
Yeah.
You had to go to the courtroom to like get yours.
Wow.
Amazing.
So cool. Send us your grandma's stories, you guys. Please, please.
Or if they just have kind of good stories.
Any story.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be murder.
We like all this.
Send your stories to my favorite murder, Gmail. Don't put links in there.
Yeah, we don't care about links.
No.
We won't click your link to your weird credit card.
What?
Just say like if it's spam. Links look like spam to me.
Yeah. I don't know why I said that.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Thank you guys for listening. And we're going to go back to normal next week with a regular, you know, life.
Yeah. But it's good that we broke up the pace, the pattern.
Yeah.
We mess with people's minds.
Keeping you on your toes.
It's a whole new world.
There you go. That's what it is.
Stay sexy.
Don't get murdered.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, Elvis, want a cookie?
Oh, yeah.
Good boy. Want a cookie?